church family. How are you doing out there this morning? Good to see you. Good to see you. So today we are continuing our series in Climbing into God's Hammock, and we're talking about an interesting subject, the subject of praying for holiness. Praying for holiness. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm just going to ask this rhetorical question this morning. How many of us have ever prayed that God would make us more holy? How many of us have ever prayed, hey, God, make me more holy? Or prayed for somebody else that God would make them more holy? Maybe that's more common of a prayer. And at the end of Paul's prayer, his little couple phrase prayer here, he does say, and pray for us too. So he's asking them, I'm going to pray for you to be holy. You pray for me to be holy. Maybe that would be a good interaction, right? You pray for me to be holy, I'll pray for you to be holy. Maybe somehow together, if we pray those prayers, we can get along, right? Yeah. So they just turn to the person next to you and said, I'm going to pray for you to be holy, you pray for me to be holy. Just turn to the person next to you and say that. So, you know, what is holiness? What does it look like? In the church that I grew up in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, it looked something like this. We don't drink and we don't chew and we don't run with girls that do. That was kind of our definition of holiness. And then there was a bunch of do's and don'ts in the church covenant, that when you took the church covenant, there was a bunch of do's, a list of do's and don'ts. So is holiness about that list of do's and don'ts? Is holiness, you know, coming from a Mennonite background, all of you, a Mennonite background, Anabaptist background, is it more of a simple fashion statement? Is holiness about just a simple lifestyle, simple fashion statement, simple dress, simple things, simple life? Is that what holiness is about? Is there a holiness scale that God measures people by? Is there a scale where, you know, Jesus would be at the top? He's a 10 in holiness, right? And then people like Billy Graham and Mother Teresa, maybe they're eighths or so on there. And way down near zero is like Adolf Hitler and folks like him. And, you know, where would that put us on that scale? Somewhere in the middle? How do we know whether we're moving up or down in the scale? Is there really a scale? Is that what holiness is all about? Having some rating system or kind of rating ourselves or rating other people or one another and how holy you are? You know, over the years, I've been in numerous small groups, and I've heard people ask for prayer for lots of stuff. Sick parents, a new job, wayward children, a lost friend, a challenging coworker. But I don't think I've ever heard anyone in a small group ask for us to pray for them to be more holy. But Paul prays this prayer for holiness. And holiness is this. Holiness is becoming more like Jesus Christ, step by step, day by day, season by season of life, as we surrender to God's goodness in our life. That's what holiness is, and holiness is for everyone. Can we just say that together? Holiness is for everyone. It's for everyone. It's not just for a select few that go off to a monkery or a monastery or a nunnery or someplace like that. It's for everyone. Holiness is for everyone. And so we're going to look at this compact prayer that Paul gives us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, where he talks about this concept of holiness, that when we pray for holiness, it reminds us of some of the movements and goodness of holiness. And so the first thing that he says that the prayer for holiness reminds us of is that God is working on us, that God is at work, that holiness, as much as it's about us surrendering to God, is even more about God doing the work of holiness in us and working on us. He says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. This word picture that Paul used here is almost like a word picture of somebody kneading dough when they're getting ready to make bread, or kneading clay when they're getting ready to make something on a potter's wheel. They're trying to get all the air out of it. They're trying to get it kneaded. They're trying to get it consistent and uniform so that it can be either baked up are thrown on the potter's wheel and made really well. And he says that it is God, may the God of peace, may he sanctify you. May he keep working in you and on you. May he keep kneading you and working on you. And so holiness is this whole idea that something is being set apart to God and something is being set apart for God. So something that is holy would be something that is set apart to God to have this personal relationship with him, this intimacy with him. We call it here at Mount Joy, we call it enjoying God, right? That's the first part of our vision, is to enjoy God. And so a holy people want to be people who say, I'm set apart to enjoy God and to have this life-giving, rich relationship with him where he's changing me, rearranging me, making me new. He's working on me. So there's that whole idea of being set apart to God. And then there's the idea of holiness as being set apart for God. The things that were set apart had a special purpose in this world and in this life. And so God not only wants to set us apart to him for intimacy with him, he wants to set us apart for him because we're the manifestation of his kingdom here and now. Okay? And that's our purpose. Our purpose. Jesus prayed the prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What? Through us. We're the manifestation of the kingdom. And so holiness is all about this thing of being set apart to God and for God. So we're set apart to God to get in that hammock and to enjoy him altogether, but then to be that manifestation of his kingdom as he's changing us, rearranging us, working on us for his purpose in this world. This is close to that same idea in the New Testament of the word for church. The word for church in the New Testament is a Greek word in the original New Testament is ekklesia. Ekklesia means the called out assembly or the called out group or the called out people. We're set apart, we're called out to God and for God to be changed by God, to be a manifestation of God in this world of his kingdom that is coming and will come in full fruition at the end of time. And so I want to give you, this is my definition of what it means to become more holy. Okay. Can you guys go forward? It says becoming holy is a lifelong, life-changing process. Can you go to that one? There we go. Thank you. Becoming holy is a lifelong, life-changing process of God making us more like Jesus as we cooperate with him. Let's read this out loud together. Becoming holy is a lifelong, life-changing process of God making us more like Jesus as we cooperate with him. Isaiah 64:8 says this, yet you, Lord, our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, we are the work of your hands. And so when we come before God, this whole idea of holiness is we come before God, we're set apart to him, for him, and he is the potter and we are the clay. And he's molding us, making us more like Jesus Christ. He keeps working in our life. He uses situations, background. He uses our own personality. He uses the people next to us who are becoming more holy or less holy. It doesn't matter. He can use them to make us more holy, right? And he is working on us and working in us and through us. And so the simple prayer for holiness is saying, I want to grow and be transformed and changed into your likeness on the potter's wheel. I want to ask you, have you ever, how many people in the room have made pottery or thrown pottery on a potter's wheel? We have a number of people in here who have done that. I've only ever done that one time, and it didn't come out that good. When you ever do something once, it usually doesn't come out great. You don't do it once and it's great and you're done with it. You're finished and done. But I remember it was my senior year in high school and I was taking an art course, and one of the things we had to do to pass the art course was to be able to throw a pot on the potter's wheel. And so we had to knead the clay and we had to do the whole process and fire the pot and all that kind of thing and glaze it and cut the heel on the pot, everything. Okay? And so I've been paying attention in class, and we had to knead the clay. It's just amazing to me is how much was the process of making a pot on a potter's wheel. Just the process of it was amazing to me. And so It's not amazing to me that in the Bible that God uses this whole word picture of being made and formed and transitioned from one thing to another, from this glob of clay into something beautiful and something purposeful and something useful and something that can be held in the hands of the maker of it, okay? So we had to knead the clay. We had to place it and get it centered on the wheel. That's another thing, just trying to get it centered on the wheel. That was a little bit harder than I thought. And then we had to do this thing that was called pulling. Once we got it placed on there, and we had to do this thing called pulling up the sides. Anybody remember that who's done pottery? You know, pulling up the sides. So I was pulling up the sides, and I was going to make a nice picture for my mom for flowers in her house. You know, so I was going to make this nice picture, and you pull up the sides, and then you got to pull the sides back in. Well, I could never get the sides back in. So I ended up with more like a bird bath than I did. So I had to change the use of what we're using it for. And I remember being able to cut it off and flip it over. And my art teacher, she was good humored. She was kind of joking with me about my bird bath. And, you know, and it was so big, and the heel was so big that she thought it would crack. And so it did crack just a bit in the middle of the heel. But I had that pot for over 20 years. And I put a little bit of latex in the bottom of it to cover up part of the hole so that we could put a plant in there. And Debbie and I had that for over 20 years, different apartments, different places, till it finally got dropped and broken at one of the places we were moving from one place to another. But we had it, and it served its purpose. The original purpose I wanted for it, it didn't. It could never hold flowers like that unless you had like 15 bouquets of flowers or something in it. But it was great for housing a spider plant, because spider plants grow out and down and around, and it was just great. It was like this kind of, you know, we could set the spider plant in there, a little bit of caulking in the bottom, and it could keep some of the water in the bottom. It's great for housing this spider plant. My point is this: it's hard. It's hard work for a potter to pull up a pot and make it for a purpose, to fire it, to glaze it, to set it aside. And often we feel like our Christian life is hard work, and maybe we're trying to do the hard work when God's the potter. That's right. And what we need to do is cooperate with him, to be set aside, to be set aside to him, for him, for his purpose, and let him determine the purpose of our life, the way that we will manifest the kingdom of God for him through our life. So God has called us, he's set us apart, he's working on us for a purpose, and that is a big part of holiness, that whole idea of cooperating with him in the hammock. So how do we cooperate with him? We do that some ways through like biblical reflection, reading the Bible and reflecting on it. I was talking to somebody this morning who was sitting over here, and I walked over to talk to them for the minute, and they were just reading their Bible, just sitting there reading the Bible, doing some of their morning reflection this morning. We can do that. We can journal. We can pray. The idea is getting into that hammock. And when we get into that hammock with God, and he's molding and he's kneading and he's making us, the way that we cooperate is getting into his word, getting into prayer, getting into reflection, getting into what he's going, paying attention to what the potter's doing so we can cooperate with his hands and his work in our life. So that's number one in praying for holiness. Number two, praying for holiness, I see this, reminds us that God is returning for us. God is returning for us. Paul says this in the second part of his prayer: may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is returning for us, and while he is preparing to return for us, he is keeping us. He is caring for us. He's guiding our lives. You know, we're not saved by grace and then made holy and sanctified through our own works. But sometimes you would think that in our lives. Saved by grace, but then I got to grow up under my own effort, right? The sanctification process, the process of being made more holy through Jesus Christ, is just as much a work of grace as his saving grace. In my movement, the Christian Missionary Alliance, they would say it this way. they would say sanctification is a second work of grace in your life. That God saves you and he sanctifies you. And he offers healing to you. And he offers hope to you by being your coming king. They call it the fourfold gospel. Savior, sanctifier, healer, Lord, and coming king. You can tell I passed my ordination exam with the Alliance. So why is that that we come to God by grace and then we try to transform ourselves in our own efforts so many times? Why is that? Why do we do that? We forget that God's our keeper and that he's coming back for those he's keeping. He's shepherding, he's leading, he's guiding, he's transforming, he's changing. He is the potter and we are the clay. In Psalm 23, it talks about the Lord being our shepherd, that his rod and his staff are a comfort to us, that he makes us lie down in green pastures, that he leads us beside still waters, that he's the restorer of our soul. So I want to ask you this. In your Christian life, are you spending more time just trying to do sin management, or are you spending your time being kept by the Master? I'm guilty sometimes of doing sin management. I'll be in a small group. I'll be in a relationship, accountability relationship with my friends. And sometimes I'm just trying to manage my sin, just trying to keep my sin at bay or keep myself from not sinning too much. I mean, how do you know when you're not sinning too much? How do you know when sin is at bay? But you do know when you have submitted yourself to the hands of the Master and you're being kept by him. Because you're just saying to him, I'm all yours all the time. I'm all yours all the time. When I'm tempted, I'm all yours all the time. When things are going well, I'm all yours all the time. I'm just giving myself into the Master's and the Potter's hands again and again and again. And I'm not doing it in my own effort. I'm just surrendering. I'm cooperating. I'm being kept by the Master. I wonder in my own life how many times I've struggled with the whole idea of God being my shepherd and his rod and his staff being a comfort to me. You know what the rod and staff were for? The rod was to hit the sheep, just boom, boom, like keeping them back from the edge. And then the crook of the staff was, you're getting way too close to the edge. I'm going to have to loop it around your neck and pull you back to safety. Both of them were not to punish the sheep. It was to keep them on the path, to keep them eating in the right place, sleeping in the right place, to keep them away from predators, to keep them with the flock, to keep them in community, to keep them together, to nourish them, to grow them, to take care of them. But how many times do I sometimes look at God and say, oh God, you're just trying to keep me from having fun? And God says, no, I'm trying to keep you on the path. I'm trying to keep together with your brothers and sisters. I'm nudging you. I'm pulling you. My rod and my staff, my leadership should be a comfort to you, that I'm caring for you and keeping you going on the right path so you don't go off the edge. Paul says that our hope and our joy are fueled by the fact, our hope and our joy, that God is keeping us. He's keeping us in this life because he's returning for us. He's keeping us and he's getting ready to return for us. So I just want us to say this together about God being our keeper who is coming for us. I just want us to say, good shepherd, I'm all yours all the time. Let's just say that. Good shepherd, I'm all yours all the time. The process of becoming more holy, more like Jesus Christ, is this idea of cooperating with the leadership of our Master and our keeper, that he's keeping us and caring for us. The third thing I see in this prayer of Paul is that praying for holiness reminds us that God is faithful to us. God is faithful to us. It's interesting that Paul ends this just short prayer about holiness. He says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do the work of holiness in you.
So have you ever sensed God calling you, reaching you, nudging you? A deep impression inside that God is making on you, that he's calling you out of darkness and into light? Do you remember the time when you kind of first felt that nudge of the Holy Spirit to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Or maybe today you're feeling kind of that nudge of God, that nudge of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working. He's calling. Paul said, the one who has called you out of darkness into light, the one that has called you unto himself, the one who has separated to you for himself and to himself, he is faithful and he will do it. He will keep sanctifying you, growing you, making you holy. He's with you in this life. Becoming holy is a lifelong, life-changing process of God making us more like Jesus as we cooperate with him. What does it look like at this point in your life for you to cooperate with God? What does cooperation look like? I think it looks different at different times in our life. There's probably different spiritual disciplines. There's different practices. There's different habits that we need to engage in different seasons of life for us to be cooperating with God, for us to be hearing his nudges, following through, letting him make us more like his son, Jesus Christ. And so I just want you to think for a minute. What are some of the things that maybe God wants you to engage in this season in your life for you to be more cooperative with the work of the hands of the Master in your life? Maybe that is joining a small group or being in a small group or a next step class. Maybe that's Bible reflection and prayer, and you've kind of slipped that off. Maybe it's doing some journaling. Maybe it's silence and stillness. What are some of the practices that God has you? Maybe it's doing acts of service for somebody. Sometimes when you're doing acts of service for somebody else, God can speak to you and transform you the most in those moments of service to other people. What is it that would help you cooperate and say that God is faithful right up to the finish? Our Father's faithfulness is such a sweet gift from him, isn't it? He's faithful. And his faithfulness should then help us and impression us to be more faithful people to him. One of my favorite Christian classics is a song called Great is Thy Faithfulness. I won't sing it to you this morning or you would all leave. But I'm going to read some of the words this morning. When Debbie and I were married back in 1987, this was the hymn that we sang during our wedding ceremony. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars, in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. And then the refrain, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's try to sing that. Let's try to sing that together. I'm going to just give it a shot, all right? You want to try it? You want to try it?
Yeah.
Let's try it. Let's try the refrain. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I hath needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. What a great refrain. What a great thing to remember. When it comes to becoming more like Jesus Christ, that he's at work, he's doing the work, that he's the one keeping us, and that he is faithful to us till the end. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. That verse was written to individuals, and it was written to the church. He who began a good work in you, Mount Joy Mennonite Church, he's faithful to complete it. He's faithful to complete it. And he's faithful to you. As we get ready to close this morning, I want us just to do that practice, that P-R-A-Y, that pause, reflect, ask, and surrender, by looking at these two verses of Scripture together, and then I'll close us in a prayer together. But I just want us to pause, just taking time to take a breath, and then read and reflect this Scripture passage. Then ask God any question that may come up from the passage, from yourself, and then just surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit through His Word to you this morning. So let's just read it out loud together. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Let's just open our hands before God in prayer. And take a few moments to reflect on these verses. Now just lift up any questions that came to your mind or your heart to God. Just ask now. And now let's just read it again as a prayer of surrender to God. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Just bow our head and close our eyes. I have a prayer to pray for us this morning. Lord, we confess that we've tried to make ourselves appear holy at times. But that's not what holiness is about. You're not grading us on a scale or comparing us to others. You are trying to make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ, in our character and in our inner person. So we give you permission to come and work on us as a potter works on the clay. Help us remember that you're returning soon to take us home, but that you're our keeper. Help us to cooperate with your keeping care in our lives. You are faithful, Lord, so we choose to cooperate with you so you can complete your work in us. Make us a reflection of Jesus Christ. Bring your kingdom in us, on us, and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.